Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown. I'm Alex, here with Jordan, and today we're diving into Wells Fargo's second quarter 2026 results. Before we jump in, this podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
And Alex, this was a genuinely strong quarter for Wells Fargo. Diluted EPS hit $2, up 25% year over year. Revenue grew 9%. Every single operating segment posted growth in both net interest income and non-interest income.
That broad-based part is what jumps out to me. CEO Charlie Scharf made a point of saying it's not just a rising rate environment story, it's investments and operating discipline paying off. Headcount has now declined for 24 straight quarters, down to 197,000, while they're actually adding bankers, advisors, and traders in growth areas.
Right. They're funding growth with efficiency savings rather than just cutting costs across the board. And the returns numbers back it up. ROTCE jumped to 17.7% this quarter, up from 15.2% a year ago. CFO Mike Santomassimo did flag that venture capital gains, $847 million in equity gains, juiced that number a bit, but even stripping that out, the underlying trend is improving.
Wells Fargo has a medium-term target of 17 to 18% ROTCE, and Scharf was asked repeatedly about timing on that. His answer, essentially, "We're more confident every quarter, but we're not giving you a hard date because rates and markets are unpredictable."
Classic executive hedge, but a reasonable one. Let's talk net interest income, because that's where most of the analyst questions went. Full-year guidance stayed at $50 billion, give or take, but the composition shifted a little. Loan growth is coming in better than expected, while non-interest-bearing deposits aren't growing as much as they'd hoped.
And net interest margin actually compressed again, down 4 basis points from first quarter. Management's explanation is interesting. It's largely self-inflicted, in a good way. They're growing their markets business balance sheet aggressively, financing clients at lower spreads, which drags down NIM, but drives higher trading revenue and deeper relationships.
Scharf was pretty emphatic about that point. He said, "NIM compression is not happening to us. It's a deliberate choice they can reverse if the payoff isn't there." Markets revenue grew 24% year over year, so early signs suggest it's working. They expect a bit more NIM pressure in third quarter, then stabilization in fourth quarter.
Loan and deposit growth were both double-digit. Average loans up 12%, deposits up 10%, which is a big deal since Wells Fargo only got out from under the Fed's asset cap last year. They're finally playing offense after years of being constrained.
Credit quality remained a bright spot, too. Net charge-offs declined 10 basis points year over year to 34 basis points. Consumer delinquencies are actually coming in better than their models predict. Commercial credit is clean as well, though Scharf did flag caution around wholesale lending, data center financing, leveraged deals, where non-bank lenders are taking on more risk than Wells is willing to.
That data center commentary was one of my favorite exchanges. An analyst asked about second derivative AI exposure, and Scharf gave a really thoughtful answer about how they underwrite different pieces of the data center supply chain differently. Chip makers get paid back fast with huge margins, but other players in the chain carry much longer, riskier payback horizons.
It showed real discipline. They're not just chasing the AI infrastructure boom blindly. On the business line side, the corporate and investment bank had a standout quarter, revenue up 16%. Investment banking fees hit a record over $900 million, and they've climbed to number 4 in M&A advisory from number 9.
Wealth and investment management also impressed, revenue up 13%, client assets over $2.4 trillion, and they launched a new GenAI-powered platform called Advisor Gateway for their financial advisors. Credit card growth was another theme. New accounts up 46% year over year, though Scharf was upfront that new vintages take 2 to 3 years to become profitable, so there's near-term margin pressure baked in from that growth.
On capital, they returned $9.8 billion to shareholders in the first half, including $7 billion in buybacks. And they're bumping the dividend 11% to 50 cents per share next quarter, pending board approval. CET1 ratio sits comfortably at 10.3%, right in their target range.
So, Jordan, what's the takeaway for someone following this stock?
I'd say the story here is a bank finally firing on all cylinders after years of regulatory constraints. The growth is real and broad-based, not just a one-time boost from favorable rates. The NIM compression headline sounds negative, but management's explanation that it's a deliberate trade-off for higher return relationship banking is fairly convincing given the trading revenue growth we're seeing alongside it.
And the things to watch going forward, whether NIM actually stabilizes in fourth quarter like they're projecting, how the finalized capital rules affect their buyback capacity, and whether that credit card vintage math plays out as expected over the next couple of years.
Before we wrap up, everything discussed is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
Great breakdown, Jordan. We'll be back next quarter to see if Wells Fargo keeps this momentum going, especially on that NIM stabilization story.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Until next time, this has been Beta Finch.